All right, on today's show, we are going to go through a recap of Week 7 very quickly, some of the biggest games, and I'll hit on some of the more interesting ones as well. But let's not waste time. Let's go on and get to this thing.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's football. I've been watching it for 40 years.
Are you kidding me?
You're listening to Winning Cures Everything.
Game day, baby. Wake up or get out.
Here's your host.
A confident young man. A superb athlete.
Gary Seegers.
All right, welcome in. Winning Cures Everything. It is the Monday, October 14th edition of the show. I'm your host, Gary Seegers. And of course, you can get me on all the different socials at GaryWCE. You can find me mostly on X over there. WinningCuresEverything.com is the website. Of course, if you want to be a member, BettingCFB.com. $5 a month, $50 for the year. Your support is greatly appreciated. And we've got a really fun community going on over there. A lot of... We're winning. We are winning. That's a good thing. So you get my early picks, along with some bonus content, some different graphics and whatnot that I've been posting over there to get you ready for each college football week. And we'll be doing it all through the off season as well. That's where I'm going to be sharing all of my stuff as I prep for the upcoming season once this one is done. So subscribe if you've not already done that. Leave a nice 5-star review. That would certainly be appreciated. So let's go on and get into it. We're going to hit the biggest games first, and then, of course, I'll just kind of run through all of the other ones very quickly. But we won't spend too long because I'm going to be doing another podcast in the morning. So, all right. First one up, got to be Oregon-Ohio State, right? Oregon 32, Ohio State 31. And this one was an incredible football game. Just absolutely awesome. It was great. It was wonderful. I don't even know really what else to say about it. I mean, this was two really good teams going at each other. Ohio State, surprisingly, minus 0.15 in EPA per rush. That was not what I expected. They weren't good on third down. Their defensive run stuff rate was not good. Their havoc rate was not good, but neither was Oregon's. Oregon was the overall better football team. Like, it was just... If you just look at EPA per play, Oregon 0.29, Ohio State 0.25. Success rate, Oregon was 48%, Ohio State was 49%. Both teams averaged over 7 yards per play, which is not what you expected from these two defenses. And I was just shocked because I thought that Ohio State was the significantly better football team, and it looks like Oregon had a lot left in the tank. I think that's just the easiest way to put it. If you wanted to go by down-to-down stuff, then, okay, we can find certain spots where Ohio State, like, if they had done this one thing, then they would have won the game. If you know, but Oregon missed 2 two-point conversions, had to kick a field goal when they were first and goal on, like, the 2-yard line. There's a lot of things that could have gone another direction for either team, but this was what it was. It was just a really well-played football game between two incredible football teams, and it happened to be in Eugene at Autzen where the crowd was hyped. So Will Howard at the end of the game, okay, like even if he had gotten down a second earlier, you still need about a second to be able to call that timeout. But then do you trust your kicker has a career long of 47 yards? That's not a gimme. So there's no telling what would have happened there. I think the offensive pass interference call at the end on Jeremiah Smith was absolute BS. I don't think that was a very good call at all, because I don't think the ball was in the air when he pushed off. That looked like a bump to me. That's how you teach it. So I don't think that was crazy. Like, I don't know. It felt like a weird spot for them to call that. So I would not have called that. I would have let them play. And, you know, it is what it is. Looking at this game, Ohio State is still really good. Oregon is still really good. But now Ohio State has a more difficult schedule going down the pike, right? Ohio State has still got Penn State coming up. But before Penn State, they've got Nebraska. And then after that, Purdue at Northwestern. And then you got Indiana the week before Michigan. Like, there are... Honestly, there's four losable ball games here. Like, and I know that sounds crazy, but, you know, Michigan is what it is. I would expect them to handle them. Nebraska, same thing. That one's at home. Penn State on the road. Indiana the week before Michigan. Like, some weird schedule spots coming up here. And so Ohio State kind of up against it now. That's going to be tricky. And we spent almost 5 minutes on that game. So we're not going to spend as long on the other ones, but still. Moving on, Ole Miss goes down to LSU and gets beat 29-26 in overtime. Yeah, that's... Ole Miss should have won this game. I mean, all of the stats show that they should have won this game. And LSU hung around. LSU did not lead until they won the game in overtime. There was not a single point in this game where they held a lead until they scored the game-winning touchdown in overtime. That is bananas to me. The Ole Miss stats, they just continued to shoot themselves in the foot. Five red zone trips and they had 13 points. Just not great at all. Ole Miss could not generate tackles for loss. LSU's defense surprisingly did. 6 sacks by that LSU defense. So cheers to Blake Baker for getting that thing done, getting it turned around a little bit. I don't know if they're going to play that well every week, because remember, this was a weird schedule spot. Like, let's just call it what it was. Ole Miss was playing their 7th straight game. LSU was coming off of a bye, and Ole Miss had already lost a game. So you've already got built-in pressure. So as far as overall stats are concerned, yeah, Ole Miss probably should have won this ballgame. Garrett Nussmeier got pressured 21 times in this game and did not take a sack. That is outstanding quarterback play. So LSU continues to do their thing looking ahead. LSU plays at Arkansas this week and then at Texas A&M. They've got a bye week before Alabama. And then, listen to the end of this. They got to play at Florida, Vanderbilt, and Oklahoma to close out. None of these are easy games. So LSU, you could not convince me that they are going to win out. But Ole Miss, they are in a bit of a tricky situation as well. They've got a bye week this week, but then they play Oklahoma at home, at Arkansas, Georgia, then at Florida and Mississippi State. So they get to avoid the Vanderbilt thing going on. But yes, there was not a single point in this game for LSU where they were... where they were expected to win the game. The closest that it got, let's see, win probability, the closest that it got at any point was, looks like in the fourth quarter, and it was down to like 58% win probability for Ole Miss. And that was, I mean, it is what it is. So last play of the game is what shook it. So cheers to LSU getting it done. Had to get it done. Penn State, 33, USC, 30. Another interesting game, right? USC jumps out to a big lead, 20-3 in the first half. And then, of course, and that's when probability shifted pretty significantly there, because Penn State was expected to win this game. And the win probability got up to, let's see, USC 80.6% in the first half. In the second half at one point, USC was up to 86.2% win probability. And then, of course, they lose the game in overtime. the Penn State offense could not do anything correctly in the first half. And in the second half, they opened up the playbook and they got after it. Just outstanding job by Andy Kotelnicki. The throwing to the tight end like they did, they realized that they had a an advantage there. I don't think they wanted to use it. That's the thing. They outgained USC by over 100 yards in this game. Now, both teams had over 7 yards per play here. Penn State, significantly higher EPA, like doubled them up in EPA per play. But the fact that Penn State had 377 yards passing, USC only 220, that was pretty wild. USC outrushing Penn State was maybe one of the more surprising things from this weekend. I mean, this was not at all what I expected out of this game. But again, Penn State was traveling, and USC, you know, at home, coming off of a loss, backs against the wall. Now, of course, USC has got at Maryland this week. They play Rutgers on a Friday night. They play at Washington. They've got Nebraska, at UCLA, and Notre Dame. I mean, you could certainly see them losing to Rutgers on Friday, maybe, but that's a cross-country trip for Rutgers, and it's a late game. And so let's say at Washington, Nebraska, and Notre Dame, three games left, and hell, they might lose to Maryland this weekend just because of the cross-country travel the week after Penn State, right? They played at Michigan, then hosted Wisconsin, played at Minnesota, hosted Penn State, and now they're playing at Maryland before they get Rutgers at home. I mean, this is a stretch for USC. This is not easy by any stretch of the imagination. But yeah, like, got to get the Maryland win. USC's in a world of hurt here. Like, that three losses already. This is not great. Not what you expected after beating LSU in week one. Penn State, after this, they've got a bye week. Then they play at Wisconsin the week before Ohio State. They've got Washington, at Purdue, at Minnesota, and Maryland. Penn State should handle business. That Wisconsin game is going to be tricky because it looks like Wisconsin has opened things up a little bit. So we'll see what happens there. Moving on, Texas 34-3 over Oklahoma. Oklahoma never had a prayer here. Early in the game, the defense was hanging in there. Quinn Ewers looked a little rusty. Things were tricky. It felt like Texas always had the advantage because they could at least do something on offense. Texas had 6 explosive plays. Oklahoma had 0. Oklahoma's just not good right now. They don't have – the defense is still good, but they don't have any playmakers right now. And if you don't have playmakers in this conference, you are in serious, serious trouble. So there's not a lot to talk about here. There was nothing all that crazy. Texas doubled up Oklahoma as far as havoc plays. Like, they generated a ton of them. 13 tackles for loss for Texas, 6 for Oklahoma. I mean, this was a beating. And we kind of thought that it would be. So, you know, it took a little while for them to get going. But once they had that onslaught in the second quarter, they just really didn't even have to do anything in the second half. And that probably doesn't spell good things for Georgia because Texas is going to come in healthy and looking good. So, Alabama beat South Carolina 27-25. This was another situation where the stat sheet looked good for Alabama. And then, you know, they did the things that they had to do to win, but they also made some incredibly boneheaded plays that just, you know, both teams had 9 tackles for loss in this game. South Carolina had more turnovers, but Alabama's turnovers felt more costly. I mean, I think that's the easiest way to say it, right? Gave up points on the turnovers. As far as yards per play, South Carolina had more yards per play. They outgained Alabama by almost 80 yards, but it was 5.89 yards per play to 5.64. You know, overall, Bama success rate, everything else, about what you would expect. Like, they were pretty good. It's just you made dumb decision after dumb decision. couldn't recover an onside kick. Alabama was 49% success rate. And they were not good in EPA per dropback. They were not good EPA per rush. Yards per dropback was, you know, pretty good, 7.74, but they were minus 0.17 as far as EPA per dropback. Explosive play rate, only 3% for Alabama, so they could not get the ball down the field for, like, explosive plays. Havoc rate was good. Both teams, 18%. Like, this was just a weird spot. Alabama coming off of a loss, but they've got Tennessee next week, so you didn't want to have to show too much. This was, you know, the middle eight is what really caused problems here. And yeah, the middle eight is not really a thing until it is, because Bama was up 14-0. They give up a touchdown. They throw a pick. They set up a field goal. It's just, there were so many, or there was a safety. Sorry, safety that turns into all kinds of issues. I mean, it was not a good day for Alabama. They did not play smart. And I saw an interesting tweet. Let me see if I can find it right quick. But interesting tweet about Alabama's return game. And on kickoff returns, they've had 27 kickoff returns. 17 of them were touchbacks, so they've had 10 returns. Of the 10 returns, you had two penalties. Now, one of them was on a touchback. Three fumbles or muffed kicks. One failed onside recovery. Five of them were returned for 20 yards or less. So there has been exactly one kickoff that resulted in an outcome that was better than just kneeling the ball down. Now, that's from Alex Brehm on Twitter. It's at AJBREHM24. But, yeah, that's just bananas. Like, Bama not playing smart football right now. Lenore Sellers look pretty good. Jalen Milroe, two interceptions. I mean, what are you going to do? So, and again, Jalen Milroe, 14 carries, 72 yards, and two touchdowns. We got to get Jam Miller and Justice Haynes involved. Like, Raheem Sanders had 16 carries for 78 yards. The Bama defensive line is the biggest problem right now. That is the biggest issue with this football team. If they can't stop the run, then that is going to be a problem for Bama going up against Tennessee. Absolutely.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's simple math. Tim Horton's 2-3-4 menu fills your mornings without emptying your pockets. $2 gets you a hot coffee or a classic bagel. $3, try a sausage and cheese English muffin or two classic donuts. And for $4, enjoy an egg and cheese croissant or an iced cap. Do the math. It all adds up to delicious deals. Only at Tim's. The Tim's 2-3-4 menu is available until 2 p.m. at select Columbus, Ohio restaurants. Terms apply.
All right. Tennessee, 23-17, winners over Florida in overtime. Florida should have won this game. Like, point blank, Florida was up 3-0 at the half. They were up 10-0 in the third quarter. It should have been more points. I think they got three total points on three trips into the red zone. I mean, just terrible. Terrible clock management. And then at the end of the ball game, to not go for two there, your starting quarterback is out. You're not supposed to be in this game anyway. You were a 15.5-point underdog. I feel like you need to go for the win there. And yeah, they came out and they lined up like they were going for two. Lined up for the swinging gate. Tennessee called a timeout, and then you come out and you kick the extra point. Why? Why not just, instead of going to overtime there, because Tennessee is the overall better team, you got a chance to steal one. Go and like total EPA in this game, Florida was negative 21.65, Tennessee negative 9.96. Like, Florida was not good again. And yet still had a chance to steal one. DJ Lagway, 9 out of 17 passing, 82 yards, one touchdown, one pick. But, like, had a chance to win the game. Florida was able to run the ball. Montrell Johnson, 12 carries, 85 yards. Not bad. Not bad at all. Tennessee, 27 carries for 112 yards and three touchdowns for Dylan Sampson. He is the breadwinner for them. Squirrel White had some catches. Chris Brazel had catches as well. But yeah, the Tennessee offense still didn't look good at all. Nico, 16 out of 26, 150 yards, one interception. Like, I'm just, I don't know what's going on with this Tennessee team, but I will tell you, the Alabama defense is exactly what the doctor called for. And so that's the cure for the average offense, it appears. So we'll see what that game looks like this week. But Florida should have won this ballgame. Kansas State 31, Colorado 28. Boy, what a game this was. And Colorado to still be in the game and to get a lead, 28-24 with 2 minutes left in the game. Like, that was incredible considering the number of guys that went out. Travis Hunter went down in the first half, didn't come back. Joe Horn Jr. went down. Will Shepard dropping balls everywhere. Like, caught the one that mattered to get a touchdown to send it to 21 points, I think. It was just, they had dudes getting hurt all over the place. So, which is why Colorado is a dog to Arizona this week, because, I mean, I would have them favored in that game if everybody was healthy. But we don't know what the situation is going to look like. So, who knows? Who knows? But this is, yeah, Kansas State-Colorado was a fantastic game. Kansas State found a way to win. It looked like Avery Johnson might have been out of the game and maybe out for a while. And then he comes back in. Like, he looked like he was in real, legit pain. And just, yeah, is what it is. Shador Sanders, by the way, 34 out of 40, 345 yards, three touchdowns, one interception. They tried to run the ball. Weren't very good at it. So it is what it is. EPA per rush, they were negative 0.16. Kansas State was pretty good throwing the football. I found that interesting. 15 out of 23, 200 yards, two touchdowns, one pick for Avery Johnson. And they didn't really run Johnson a bunch. Three carries, 21 yards, one touchdown. That was interesting. So DJ Giddens basically handled the rushing duties. 25 carries for 182 yards here. This was just a fun ball game. That 200 yards passing for Avery Johnson, by the way, a fourth of that came on their last offensive play, or their last real meaningful offensive play, because it was a 50-yard touchdown pass. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I'm interested. I'm interested in what Colorado's going to look like if they don't have healthy players. But they are building something there, and it's more than I thought that it would be. And so Kansas State, like, you follow up a late-night trip to Boulder with a trip to Morgantown? Yikes. Like, not what you would want as far as scheduling is concerned. Let's go through some of the other games that happened. James Madison continues to just destroy everybody. They beat Coastal 39-7. That Louisiana Monroe game looks more and more weird week after week. UNLV scoring a bunch of points. Northwestern 37-10 over Maryland. Did not expect that one. But Maryland, negative 4 in turnovers. Utah gets beat 27-19. Cam Rising just looks hurt. Why on earth are you playing that kid? It's just painful. Just painful. Clemson 49-14 over Wake. Missouri 45-3 over UMass. I thought UMass might be able to hang there just because of schedule spot, etc. But Missouri said, nope, like, this is ridiculous. Like, we look like trash last week. Let's go out and do this thing. Iowa 40-16 over Washington. Iowa, just that offense is rolling right now. Tim Lester doing a good job there. But Iowa is now 4-2. They are 2-1 in the Big Ten. And that Iowa schedule is interesting, to say the least, right? Iowa right now, they play at Michigan State, Northwestern. They host Wisconsin. They play at UCLA. They play at Maryland. And then they've got Nebraska. Pay attention to Iowa. That's all I'm saying. Pay attention, because they don't really have anybody left that is too difficult, and they get Wisconsin at home. So this week at Michigan State, that's going to be a big one. But yeah, I mean, when your road games are Michigan State, UCLA, and Maryland, and then you get Nebraska at home at the end of the season, you get Wisconsin, you get Northwestern, that's going to be interesting. Wisconsin 42-7. Wisconsin is slowly starting to click. They are 4-2 right now. Georgia Tech 41-34 over North Carolina, and Georgia Tech 5 wins already, 5-2. That's not great for me, who bet the Georgia Tech under. Georgia Tech, by the way, like, didn't look great in this game, but they got Notre Dame this week at Virginia Tech, Miami, NC State, and at Georgia. Would it surprise anybody if Georgia Tech did not win another game except maybe NC State? And honestly, by that point, it's later in the year, and maybe NC State has got some stuff figured out. That's a terrible scheduling spot for NC State because, well, no, they're coming off a bye in that one. That one's going to be tricky. Let's pay attention to Georgia Tech. Toledo got smashed, of course, right after announcing a contract extension for Jason Candle. 30-15, they lose at Buffalo. Buffalo is now 4-2. Buffalo has more wins this year already than they had last year under Mo Lingest. Army 44-10 over UAB. The Trent Dilfer experience is donezo. Notre Dame 49-7 over Stanford. Pitt gets a win 17-15 over Cal. And that one, like, Pitt had so many opportunities in that game. Honestly, both teams did. But I got real tired of Eli Holstein throwing the ball to the other team. that destroyed me. Illinois 50-49 over Purdue. And Purdue found something with this new quarterback. And his name escapes me right now, but he certainly picked it up, because this game was 27-3 at the half. Illinois was up big. And then, of course, Purdue with a massive comeback is what it is. Louisville 24-20 over Virginia. Cincinnati 19-13 over UCF. Cincy is looking pretty good. San Jose State goes down to Colorado State 31-24. Let's see. Old Dominion over Georgia State. Northern Illinois 17-7 over Bowling Green. And Bowling Green does not look good without Connor Bazelak at quarterback. So they're going to figure some stuff out. I think they're down to a third-string quarterback this week against Kent State. Now, it is still Kent, so they're favored by like 20.5. But Kent has been playing pretty good. Something to pay attention to. Memphis, 21-3 over South Florida. Byron Brown looks like he's going to be out for a while. They keep saying that he was day-to-day, but this is very much a Kyle Whittingham situation where they're like, he might play, he might play. That kid ain't playing. He's just not. BYU 41-19 over Arizona. Georgia beats Mississippi State 41-31. How State stayed in that game, I have no idea, other than Georgia was probably looking ahead to Texas. But at the same time, these Georgia numbers are not looking very good, and maybe they're just waiting around. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Louisiana Monroe moves to 5-1. They're 3-0 in the Sun Belt, and I don't get it at all. If you're UAB, you got to be kicking yourself over not keeping Brian Vincent. I mean, just nuts. Tennessee, we already talked about Tennessee. New Mexico, they get over the 1.5 win total for us, 52-37. They beat Air Force, and Air Force is terrible. 1-5. They're 0-3 in the Mountain West. Washington State moves to 5-1. They beat Fresno 25-17. North Texas moves to 5-1. They beat Florida Atlantic 41-37. Still haven't really played a team with a pulse. North Texas is, I think, double-digit dogs to Memphis this week. I believe that's right. North Texas, I mean, they've played Tulsa, they've played Wyoming, FAU. They've played some bad teams. Now we get to figure out exactly what North Texas is. They play at Memphis, then they host Tulane. They got a bye week. They play Army at UTSA, which we thought was going to be better. ECU, and then at Temple. This is the stretch to figure out if North Texas is real or not. Rice beats UTSA 29-27. Nevada beats Oregon State 42-37. Louisiana handles App 34-24, and that was, I mean, App was like -4 in turnovers. Louisiana did not do what they were supposed to do in that ballgame. Vanderbilt, let's talk about the Commodores for a minute. 20-13, Diego Pavia is an absolute dog. That kid is legit. He is real. I love watching him play football. Vanderbilt 4-2, and they are knocking on the door of bowl eligibility. The problem is that if you look at their schedule, they got Ball State this week, and that'll put them to 5 wins, so long as they get the win, because they went down to Georgia State and lost. But if they beat Ball State, they should be 6-1, but they lost to Georgia State. So it is what it is. But then after that, Texas at Auburn, South Carolina at LSU, Tennessee. So you got to beat one of those teams. You got to beat Auburn or South Carolina, because I don't think you're going to win against Texas. I don't think you're going to win at LSU, and I don't think you're going to beat Tennessee. But maybe Tennessee actually is bad. Who knows? Iowa State 28-16, massive second half from Iowa State. Their defensive coordinator is, what's his name, Heacock, I think is his name. Just ridiculous what he's been doing. I mean, that defense is so good. Syracuse 24-17 over NC State. Georgia Southern comes back to beat Marshall. Georgia Southern is now 4-2. 24-23, backup quarterback comes in because J.C. French gets hurt and has an absolute... They scored 3 touchdowns in the last 6 minutes of the game to win the game. Marshall has got to be kicking themselves. Minnesota goes to UCLA, gets a win. UCLA is now 1-5 on the season. And then the last game of the night, Boise 28-7 over Hawaii. And scored 2 touchdowns late. Got a 2-point conversion there as well. And looked pretty good. Looked pretty good. Overall, successful week 7. It is 2007 all over again. We are going to see some more goofy stuff. And I can't wait. I can't wait. All right, don't forget about the Tuesday and Wednesday BetUS College football shows, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Going to be a really good time there. As far as the schedule here with Winning Cures Everything, of course, the YouTube channel, I will have more plays out and whatnot this week, more videos out explaining a bunch of different stuff. So subscribe if you've not already done that. And don't forget, become a member at bettingcfb.com. $5 a month, $50 for the year, and we have a good time there. All right, that's going to do it. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football, and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week. Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Make sure and subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app, and make sure to leave a nice 5-star review. You can follow Gary on Twitter, @GaryWCE. And the show is @WinningCures. Be sure to check out the merch in our web store and share the show.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest. There's something so thrilling about playing Chumba Casino. Maybe it's the simple reminder that with a little luck, anything is possible. ChumbaCasino.com has hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from, with new game releases each week. Play for free anytime, anywhere, for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus Ground Chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.